This is your Positive Attitude Booster. It will summarize much of what was said throughout the Positive Attitude Training Series. I call this a Positive Attitude Booster because it's designed to be played whenever you need a booster shot or a quick reminder that your well-being is within your own control. Sometimes in the humdrum of everyday life, that perspective can be forgotten. But by using this tape when you need it, or re-listening to it approximately once a month, those ideas for acquiring and keeping your crucial positive attitudes will become more and more a part of you. Remember, if you believe that the way you feel inside is determined only by events outside of yourself, that unless you're a very lucky person, very often you're going to feel out of control, powerless, and as though you've been dealt a dirty deal. But by remembering that it's your attitudes that predispose you to the way you feel, think, or behave towards someone or something, and that you can not only learn but continue to learn and develop the positive attitudes that will give you mastery over practically any life situation, beginning with how you feel about yourself, the other people around you, and the world in general. Anytime you get hung up on a particular area, go back to the side that deals with that specific issue to develop the winning attitude you'll need to get through. In that way, you'll consider this tape and the use of this series like a mental workout that you can use throughout your life to work on the areas that may continue to give you the most difficulty. Remember that your life is a process for which you are ultimately responsible in totality. This includes not only for your behavior, but for the way you feel about things as well. Behind practically every negative attitude, there's a should statement that we make either consciously or unconsciously that leads to that disturbing emotion. For example, if you're feeling angry, ask yourself what expectations you're demanding should be better met, or how you are telling yourself that someone should have treated you better. If you're feeling depressed, look at how you may be down on yourself by demanding that you should perform better than your best, or that life is awful, terrible, and catastrophic when it doesn't go the way you want it to or think it should be. If you're feeling dissatisfied, are you being perfectionistic, or is there a problem to be addressed? Have you labeled yourself in a global and negative way simply because you've made a mistake or failed in a task, rather than recognizing that it's merely an act, if anything, that deserves a negative label? Are you confusing insight with hindsight? Insight, of course, occurs when you learn a valuable life lesson. Hindsight, on the other hand, is telling yourself that you should have done something differently at a time when you are not privy to all the information that you have now. Remember, you can have practically anything you want in life if you work for it, but you probably can't have everything you want, no matter how hard you try. Therefore, it's essential that you accept this one limitation that all of us have in common. If your goal is achieving peace of mind can be defined as those moments that are free of shoulds. Peace of mind is achieved when you're not telling yourself you should do better, someone else should treat you better, or the world should be easy, or one of the many infinite variations of those themes, many of which we've talked about throughout the series. If you've noticed yourself getting upset lately, you may want to start keeping a log of your thoughts once again. What triggers those negative thoughts? And what attitude needs to be zeroed in on? Is it your low frustration tolerance, LFT? Is there something that's merely difficult that you're telling yourself is too hard? Or something you are allowing yourself to believe that you can't stand? Remember, low frustration tolerance is really discomfort anxiety, and to the extent that you let yourself believe that you can't stand discomfort, you'll avoid all kinds of situations. If this is going on, imagine someone you cared about who's bothered by the very thing that is triggering your LFT. Be aware of how you would advise that person. Chances are, you would give someone else you care about lots of support in standing the thing that they are telling themselves they can't stand. Of course, people will treat you the way they choose to treat you. Hopefully, this will be positive and pleasant, but sometimes it won't. So get rid of all those illusions that you can control other people, the world, or certain events in it, because in actuality, you can't. On the other hand, no one can really hurt you emotionally unless you allow it. So the next time you get angry, instead of blaming the anger on the other person, attribute your anger to your own attitude about that other person, then you're fully in control again. The same holds true for other emotions, such as depression and anxiety. Depression is often a feeling of hopelessness, being stuck in a situation that you tell yourself you would not choose, and one that you believe you cannot change. Sometimes the depression is merely anger turned inward at your own inability to change things that are out of your control. What can be more self-defeating than that? If you recognize yourself in that situation, let go of it. Self-blame will only defeat you. And if you define yourself as incompetent, then you've turned your attitude into a vicious circle. Because by defining yourself as incompetent, not only have you put yourself down, but you may have undermined your own ability to change things in the future, which very well may be under your control. Know what is within your power to change and what isn't. Those things that aren't within your power to change need only be accepted. This involves releasing yourself from that self-imposed burden to change what in fact cannot be changed. So the instant you see something as being out of your power to change, walk away from it, and you may shortcut that depression faster than you can imagine. If you've considered anxiety fear of the unknown, remember it's really the feeling of fear, but with a twist. That is where you pretend the situation has dire consequences when it really does not. The fear of ridicule or criticism, the fear of rejection, the fear of failure, the fear of change, and sometimes even the fear of fear itself are all forms of anxiety. Perhaps the most common form of anxiety is what we call performance anxiety. A little bit of performance anxiety can actually improve your performance in such things as exams and presentations. Underneath performance anxiety is the attitude that you will be the subject of unspeakable ridicule if you fail, or that you yourself could never accept less than an optimal performance. There comes a point where performance anxiety becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, when it begins to affect your performance negatively. You can allow this to happen with that mental process we call catastrophizing, or imagining and fearing that the worst possible thing will occur and that you won't be able to handle it. To confront performance anxiety, do some breathing, relaxing with each breath out, and imagine your anxiety becoming excitement. Remember, anxiety and excitement are physiologically identical. It's only the negative label that makes it anxiety rather than excitement. A mental expression of anxiety is worry. Here, it's important to see the difference between those things that you have the power to affect and those things that you don't. When you define something as out of your power, of course, worry becomes pointless. That pointless worry is often a form of what we refer to as unwanted thoughts, and unwanted thoughts can be brought under your control by recognizing them when they occur and then paying little attention to them. Often they will burn out on their own power if only you don't reinforce them by acting as though they contain messages you need to hear. You may also want to put a rubber band around your wrist. When you find yourself getting caught up in an unwanted thought, simply snap the rubber band, causing yourself to have a slight amount of harmless pain. By using this method to curtail your unwanted thoughts, you will see them lessen greatly. Bringing your negative emotions under control is a function of changing the belief that causes them. You can try this simple imagery exercise to bring practically any emotion under control. Close your eyes and imagine a situation in which you would feel typically anxious. Imagine the thing which you are most anxious about actually occurring. Imagine the results being just what you most feared they would be. Be aware of how awful you're telling yourself that feared result is, and notice how the feeling of anxiety increases. With your eyes still closed, relabel that feeling of anxiety as excitement and reframe the struggle as challenge. Ask yourself, what's the worst possible thing that could happen if I really flub this? I'll look ridiculous? I won't succeed this time? See how by taking the element of catastrophe away, the anxiety lessens. With a little bit of practice, you'll be able to do this easily, and then you'll have proven to yourself that you can turn an emotion completely around simply by choosing the attitude by which you evaluate its outcome. Anxiety is also one of the emotions that we connect the most to distress. And distress, of course, is the excess amount of stress that we have over and above that which we are managing or coping with. Stressors themselves are simply the pressures of daily living, but the culprit is distress. One of the main causes of stress is change. These can occur in our work or home situation. More typically, we tend to put numerous stressors on ourselves. Perhaps by overplanning our days and engaging in too many activities, we don't allow ourselves to relax. Hurry sickness not only causes us to have excess amounts of stress, but also tends to dilute the quality of our enjoyment of life. Having impossible goals and impossible deadlines all contribute. Symptoms of stress can be emotional as well as physical, and stress sometimes can even become circular. For example, if you're under a lot of stress, you could be neglecting your most important relationships, and that could result in causing you more stress by inadvertently abusing some of your most important sources of support. The key is to be satisfied with what you have on one level while striving for the additional things you want at the next level. So keep your goals realistic and allow yourself to experience some satisfaction with what you have before pressing yourself more for what you don't. Let yourself enjoy the fruits of your hard-earned labor rather than negating the progress you've made simply by reaching for more and perhaps unattainable goals. Keep in the forefront the long-term versus short-term consequences that apply when taking on new things. Allowing yourself to become aggravated towards things that are in reality meaningless can cause you lots of pain while giving you little that's positive in return. It may help you to keep a diary of your stressful situations and include in it negative feelings that come up for you. Try to be as specific as you can in your diary of exactly what it is that's stressing you. Look for new alternatives, especially during those periods of time when you are between occurrences of those things that will predictably become stressors. You know your attitudes are changing when you can look back on your diary at a later date and see that the same things that were so difficult for you at one time now don't have nearly the same impact on you. Also, make a list of all the things you feel good about and that make you feel good. And when you're under the gun, take a look at that list so you can find some positive things to support you. Hobbies such as sports, sailing, or other relaxing activities can provide a great diversion when you're feeling the signs of distress. If you don't have the time to leave what you're doing and actually do something positive, then take a mental break and imagine yourself doing something very relaxing. Even 2 or 3 minutes of this can make all the difference in the world when your stressors are piling up on you. Also, try this simple relaxation exercise often. With practice, it will help you to bring your relaxation response under your control. Sit back in a chair comfortably and close your eyes. Take 4 or 5 deep breaths and allow yourself to feel the tension just peeling away each time you exhale. As you breathe in the feeling of relaxation. As you exhale, let your tension just melt away. Think about the last time you were fully and completely relaxed. It may have been during a vacation or just simply laying comfortably in your backyard under the sun or relaxing in some warm body of water. But make the moment you remember one where you didn't have a care in the world and let yourself completely relive that moment right now as though it were happening in the present. As you do that, let your breathing get deeper and slowly count backwards from 10 to 1, allowing yourself to relax more and more with each count. At the count of 1, you are fully and completely relaxed. Let yourself enjoy this beautiful state for 2, 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, or however long you wish, just letting your thoughts drift. If you become preoccupied with some thought, Just pay attention to your breathing and think in as you inhale and out as you exhale. When you're ready to come back into the present, tell yourself you'll count from 1 to 5, and at the count of 5, you'll be fully refreshed and ready to resume your day. Then slowly count forward from 1 to 5. At the count of 5, open your eyes. Some people learn how to do this quite easily. With others, it takes some effort. But I've had many people tell me that a 20-minute experience can feel as relaxing as a 2-week vacation. Never consider taking time out to relax as being a waste of time, because it will infinitely increase your ability to manage your stressors, and that can have the effect of adding hours to your day. You can use the relaxation exercise that we just completed, or any part of it, to help you to do just about any visualization exercise. Throughout positive attitude training, I've given many such visualization exercises. Visualizing helps us to see our potential more clearly than perhaps we could in any other way. For example, we can visualize having a positive self-image during those times when we're down. We can use visualization to imagine having a rewarding attitude during a period of time when we feel trapped with a self-defeating one. We can use visualization to imagine taking a risk and imagining it coming out the worst possible way, or imagining it coming out the best possible way. And then having a little bit of a preview as to just what the potential on both sides is, we can make better choices. Visualization can provide some very important help in setting our goals and imagining certain changes taking place that without first doing the visualization could seem very intimidating. Are you procrastinating on something? Well, in addition to attacking your attitude, try visualizing that very thing you're procrastinating on as being finished. Then when you set out to break down the task into manageable parts, see how much easier the task appears. Finally, you can use visualization to dream. Close your eyes and take a few minutes to get yourself into a state of relaxation. By now, you know just how to do it. Imagine yourself being totally happy by whatever definition of happiness you've made for yourself. Imagine you're able to form good social relationships, whether they be romantic ones or just friendships. Imagine that you're just as connected or detached as you want to be. Imagine that your work is as creative and productive as you want it to be, and that it has great meaning for you, and that you are able to perform well when things get tough simply by selecting the attitude that will work for you and not allowing yourself to get pulled in any negative direction. Imagine yourself really accepting the person you are. Imagine a self-image that's positive, that when you look into a mirror, you really like the person you see. Being in a frame of mind where there are no shoulds, no demands that you're making on yourself or anyone else. Where you're able to savor the benefits that you've worked so hard for. Remember, everything that I've asked you to imagine is within your own power, not only to imagine, but to enjoy right now. They are all a function of the attitudes by which you are capable of choosing to live your life. Take a few moments to savor and enjoy that feeling, knowing that you can always return to this place within yourself anytime you choose. And when you are ready, slowly open your eyes. The way you live your life is nothing more than the sum total of the choices you make for yourself. I hope that by using this positive attitude training series, you will consistently choose the attitudes that will make your life work better and better the more you apply them. Personal growth, like life itself, is an ongoing process. Give it the attention it needs, and it'll work wonders for you. Good luck, and remember, don't take yourself too seriously.